Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows, Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Corinthians 5. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. And now he that hath wrought us for the same selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, and knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most righteous, most majestic, good-doing, ever-faithful God in the heavens, when thou granteth on this thy day of rest, that by renewal we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee in prayer, wilt thou then clothe us with a profound reverence, that deep humility, a deep impression unto whom we speak, where thou wast everything in thy hand, thou art the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, then we need to have it impressed upon our minds and our hearts, our great and manifold needs. The temporal needs are great and manifold. The greatest need is the need of our never-dying soul, and that need has also become greater in this day, where we have come some hours closer to that final meeting with our Maker, Lord. May we be humbled under all thy blessings and under all thy goodness, with the deep impression whom thou wast given all those blessings to so undeserved and so liberally, forfeited everything from our side. We are but poor and ungrateful sinners of self. And then we humbly ask thee, may it also be thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to that godly sorrow, that leadeth to repentance, with the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art still gathering a church by word and by spirit. Wilt thou then remember in this hour, may it please thee to do what thou hast done in the realm of nature the past week, where thou hast given showers upon the thirsty earth. May it then also rain in thy house. But, Lord, it is also the work of the Spirit to grant that hunger and thirst. May thy word be blessed in this hour for the conversion of boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged, the elderly ones. Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou grant the further leadings to thy children. Thou knowest how thy people have come up, and then it is the work of thy Spirit to make thy dear Son necessary, suitable, and precious, and his threefold office, a privilege, to come under that prophetical office, to choose that kingly office, and to be led into the priestly office. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace. Bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Remember and bless thy servant. Return him safely home. Help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their dear children, accompanied with prayer and a godly example. Lord, then in this week, then in other school year hopes to commence, then by renewal the school doors hope to be opened, and then we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy rich and indispensable blessing, teaching how dependent we are upon thee, and to that end wilt thou help the school board in their weighty and responsible task, grant traveling mercies to and fro, day after day. Help the administration, the principals, the teachers, all those that stand at their side. May they do it in dependence upon thee. And do remember all the students, some of more talents than another. May it please thee to then grant a good school year. And that shall be, Lord, when thy word may be daily opened, accompanied with a calling upon thy great name, that thou will grant thy indispensable blessing to the hearts of young and old. Remember our theological school. We remember thy church all over the earth, the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Remember all mission work, Bible translators, and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Lord, we commend unto thee our nation, federally, provincially, locally, the need for much prayer, the need for much repentance. Bind it upon all of our hearts that we are part of this nation. And national sin brings national guilt, And when there is no turning and repentance, then it shall be followed by national judgments. And, ah, Lord, who shall live when thou doest those things? May we and our dear children be given to see the signs of the time. May there be a hastening for our life's sake to find a sheltering place under the wings of Emmanuel, and give unto thy church to be given to repent of evil and worldly ways. Lord, we commend all the temporal needs. Continue to provide daily bread for our family circles. Continue to uphold, to remember and comfort the mourning ones. Remember the elderly ones and the sick and afflicted ones. Then by renewal we lay before thee that little son in the hospital. Thou wast wonderfully watched over him. Wilt thou continue to remember, oh, do remember, for his body and for his soul. Do remember the parents. Place underneath thy everlasting arms. Spread over them thy overshadowing wings. And the time when it becomes too much to overwhelm, may they be given to tell thee all and ask for strength and help day by day. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy help. Do grant a blessing. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people, a heart full of love for the unconverted, a little milk for the little ones in grace, and stronger meat for those that have been led further. Oh, do grant unto thy children that tender, that close, that dependent life, living out of thee, living unto thee. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon, but do bless and remember us in this hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 290, the first five stanzas. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not, from age to age the same. And what follows, Psalter 290, the five stanzas. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 2 Corinthians 5 and there of verse 17, where God's word and our text reads thus, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our text words speak of new creatures in Christ. With four thoughts, in the first place, the great need. Secondly, the precious way. Thirdly, all things passed away. And fourthly, all things become new. A new creatures in Christ, the great need, the precious way, all things passed away, and all things become new. Beloved hearers, the Apostle Paul on a second missionary journey, which has taken place approximately in the years 49 through 52, after the birth of Christ, has visited the large city of Corinth. There's even thought that when the Apostle Paul has come to that place, it was a city of perhaps a half a million people. It was a very prosperous city, a city on trade routes north and south, east and west, a city of materialism, a city of trade, but also a city of pleasure, many sports arenas, and also a city of immorality. Upon a high plateau, there was a temple to the God of love. Thus it was a city that was steeped in sin and immorality, but it was also a city, all souls traveling to that never-ending eternity, all lost children of Adam, and also in the city of Corinth. There was not one, because I read in Psalm 14, the second verse, that the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that sought God. And then the answer in verse 3, that there were none. There were none that understood. They have all went astray. But now Paul has come, and Paul has experienced, and that's what God's people experience. If it is possible for them, then there are no impossible cases, because the grace of a triune God that is so abounding. And to that end, Paul has begun to preach. We can read thereof in Acts 18, and then it is evident that the Apostle Paul has become very discouraged. Undoubtedly, the enmity of the Jews, not interested, because we read in Romans 8, verse 7, that the carnal heart is enmity against God, neither is subject to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot be. But then the Lord has spoken to Paul. And then we read thereof in the verses 9 and 10. Be not afraid. Speak. Hold not thy peace. For I am with thee. And no man shall set hurt on thee. For I have much people in this city. There were many in that wicked, immoral city of Corinth, many lying under the seal of election, written in the book of life, that must be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And I read in Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thus the necessity to faithfully place herself under the means of grace, those are the means which the Lord has appointed for the ingathering of his church, and it needs to be accompanied with much and persevering prayer. And so Paul, he has continued for 18 months, written his first epistle at the end of the third missionary journey when he was in Ephesus, and the second epistle when he has traveled on, and when Titus has come to Macedonia with a report concerning the receiving of that first epistle and further concerns. And now our text begins with therefore. And that therefore, that refers to the former verses, to the preaching of Paul, law and gospel, and we have heard it. What a solemn word, verse 9, wherefore we labor. It was the commission of the Master to preach the gospel. And then the solemn word, for we must all appear. Do you hear, congregation? Does not say some. Does not say most, but it says all. That means in this hour that there is not one excluded. Do you think of those things? And are we prepared to meet our Maker? We cannot appear before the Lord as we are born. Then the wonder needs to take place before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone receive of the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. And then we can hear it with Paul, a burning heart, with an impression of realities, the solemnity of life, the certainty of death, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, no, Paul knew, that he could not convert one. It was the work of the Lord. It is the work of the Spirit. But the Lord uses means. Oh, then it was a desire of Paul to impress those divine realities upon the hearts of his hearers with a prayer that it may be blessed by the Holy Spirit, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And what else? Also verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Then the apostle, an enlarged heart, filled with the love of the things of the Lord, he has experienced the love of Christ in his own life, that even a persecutor was stopped, converted, turned, and that he received the pardoning of all of his sins. And then our text, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that implies congregation. That word if, that makes a separation between all of mankind. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, two ways, two peoples, two destinations. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what do we now need, congregation? Because by nature, then we are not in Christ. Then we are under the banner of the devil. And that is such a bad service, boys and girls. He promises much. He tempts. He is the liar from the beginning. He is a murderer of souls. And when we come in trouble or at the end of our life, then he shall forsake us. And then if we go lost, he shall torment and mock with us to all eternity in hell. Thus, if any man, then we could fill that word man, if any boy or girl, any youth, any middle-aged, any elderly one, be in Christ Jesus, then our text that stresses the necessity of a wonder and free and sovereign grace. And our text also speaks of an examination concerning the means of grace. The word in the family circles, in the church, and in our Christian school. And how is that now, congregation? With the Word of God. Has that become powerful in our hearts? And have we now learned by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit that we are without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world? I read at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, that means to be cursed. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's a blessing, of course, to be under the external administration of the covenant, where law and gospel may be proclaimed. It's where the Lord has promised the special blessings. 'Tis a privilege and a blessing when we may still have a tender conscience that we cannot always continue our way so easy, that we still have solemn thoughts and exercises concerning death and eternity. But our text words, they speak of a new creature, and that is a work outside of herself. We need to ask, call to use the means. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that is our second thought, that is the promised way. And when our text says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, there is much Christendom that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and rightly so. Because Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that is what we need to learn by the work of the Spirit. What we read in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. But let us remember, because there is a Christendom that speaks much of Christ, but that do not speak of the Father and the Holy Spirit. But let us remember, in paradise we have fallen from God the Father, and now in this chapter we have heard it, that there is not only spoken of Christ, but also of God, namely God the Father, and also the Spirit. And I read in John 14, verse 6, that Christ has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And now when the Lord begins that good work, then a soul has to do with the Lord. And then he has no distinguishing knowledge of the three persons in the divine Trinity. But now the necessity, because if the Lord was not triune, then it would be impossible for a sinner to be saved. Because the Lord can never step off of the throne of his justice and climb on the throne of his mercy. But now, because the Lord is triune, and that now becomes the wonder for the true child of God, for a sinner that has worked out and prayed out, a sinner that has learned that the justice of God requires perfect satisfaction, and that they learn that they can never pay that debt, that their debt is only becoming greater. And yet that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. We have sung together out of Psalm 106, where the psalmist is given to pray, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. But now the wonder for the church, when the Spirit opens the Scripture, and when they may be given to see that the Father has a Son, and that the Son was given as a free gift of the Father, that he has left his Father's house, that he has come upon the earth. And therefore we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is the way that a sinner may be pardoned and may be reconciled with the Lord. And now what was now necessary, that in the first place, that Christ in his act of obedience, that he would obey the law for his people, And in the second place, the first we call the active obedience of Christ. Young people, you have learned it in catechism. That was needful, that the mediator may merit eternal life for his people. But in the second place, then is passive obedience, where Christ has taken the sins of all this church upon him, and that he was willing to suffer and die. He has placed himself judicially under his Holy Father, and at the end on the cross has cried out, "It is finished." And that is a mediator where he has merited salvation. And what does the church now need? Oh, there is much spoken of that meriting, but there is much Christendom that tries to tell us that it is now the work of a dead sinner, dead dry bones, sinners that are at enmity with God and his Son, sinners that have fallen so deeply in their covenant head Adam, that it is now the work and the decision of such a dead sinner to receive it, to accept it, to believe it, and then, of course, as a consequence, then such a sinner must also hold on to it. Oh, young and old, that was now the case, then it would be eternally lost, hopeless. But now the work of a triune God. If any man be in Christ, then we read that Paul has given some marks. He is a new creature. A Greek word also refers to creation. Then we can draw many lines, boys and girls, between the creation of this world and that good work of grace wrought in the chosen church by the work of the Spirit. Then who has created the world, boys and girls? You know that. That is the Lord. And that is that Almighty Lord. And he has made the world. Boys and girls know it. Your mother can bake a cake when she has flour and ingredients. But your mother cannot bake a cake with nothing. Then we make something. But creating, that is in the strict sense of the word, that we bring forth something out of nothing. And so it is also with that second creation, the recreation of a soul. Then there is nothing that is truly seeking how people we think we want to be converted, but not as the Lord wants it. Want to do something ourselves, but now to be saved by free and sovereign grace, we could even say, when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, there was no resistance. But all with the conversion of mankind. And then we read creation that the earth was void and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So it is the work of the Spirit to regenerate a soul, and we read 10 times in the book of Genesis that the Lord spake something into being. And so it is also with the creation that wonderful work our forefathers in the canons of Dort, the third and fourth head, the 12th article, that it is such a supernatural, such an astonishing work, and that the Lord works that work. It is true. Also many times, providential circumstances. But now accompanied with that word, then the Spirit applies it, and such a soul becomes a new creature, becomes a child of God, and the Lord is free. The one he leads quicker than another, think of Saul, 3 days, has went through the depth. For 3 days he did not eat or drink, and brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now with the creation, then there had to come more order, a separation between the waters and the dry land. Then such a soul needs to be instructed. Oh, sometime in the beginning, then it can be such a mystery, and such a soul, when they have a little freedom to speak, then there needs to be more clarity. There needs to be more light. That's the first thing that the Lord has created the first day. And so the Spirit grants light, but also a distinguishing knowledge. There was light. But then on the fourth day, then we read, what did the Lord create the fourth day? Boys and girls, what did the Lord create on the fourth day? Do you know? The sun, the moon, and the stars. And so it is necessary for a reborn soul that they receive more light, more distinguishing. And then we read that the earth has become fruitful. It's also a mark. Because when we speak of great things, and one cannot be seen, congregation, of course, when we live under the truth, do not have the impression when we are unconverted we can do more than when the Lord converts us. No. This morning only one law was read. Nevertheless, when the Lord works, oh, it can be in the beginning, because those souls have so many questions and so many riddles, and they learn what a sinner they are, that they do not speak so much, but it can be seen in their life. Then they become fruitful. Oh, at the throne of grace, and profitable for their fellow man. And then the same as with creation, then the Lord is given to behold his own work. And then we read at the end of the first 5 days of creation, it was good. And at the end of the sixth day, that it was very good. So the Lord is given to rejoice in his own work. We even read those profound words in Zephaniah 3:17, that the Lord is given to sing concerning the work of his own hands. And what else? Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Then the Lord did not only create the earth, but he also upholds it by his divine providence. he shall never forsake the works of his own hands. But now in our verse, we have more. Because when the Lord works, then that people is given to examine themselves oftentimes, whether it is now really the true work of the Lord. Oh, those souls. What a trouble they can have with soul. We read specifically in 1 Samuel 10 that Saul received an other heart, but not a new heart. Oh, we prophesy to say it in our day, then the people have said Saul has become a minister. Oh, we could multiply it out. Judas. But now in our text words, then there are clear marks. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. And that is what our third and fourth point speaks of, but let us first sing. Psalter 108, the first four stanzas. I waited for the Lord my God, yea, patiently drew near. He at length inclined to me, my pleading cry to hear, and what follows. Psalter 108, the first four stanzas. new creatures in Christ. The great need, the precious way, and now thirdly, all things are passed away, because we read in our text, he is a new creature, all things are passed away. That is not in the absolute sense of the word. Because when the Lord works, then we have many exercises, much exercise with those old things. Thus not absolute, but there is a beginning and there is a furtherance. And in the marginal notes of our Dutch Bible, then it speaks of the promises that the and the end shall be perfection. All things are passed away. That speaks of a former life. And then boys and girls, then you need to ask the Lord that he grant you a new heart that loves the Lord, that hates sin, that fears the Lord, that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been boys and girls that did not know of a former life. Think of John the Baptist, already leaped in his mother's womb. Think of Jeremiah the prophet, who was sanctified already in the womb. Oh, those are truly blessed boys and girls that do not even know of a former life, of those old things, of sin and wickedness. On the other hand, such children, they can have much strife. Because if you ask them when they become older, can you now tell me when you have become a new creature? Then they cannot tell. And oftentimes, then such ones, then many times they become so jealous of Paul. And they think, if I was now converted like Paul, so suddenly and so powerfully that I could speak of a former time and a new time, then I would never have to doubt. Because we could ask Paul, we could wake him up, boys and girls, in the middle of the night. Paul, where has the Lord converted you? And he would say, on the way to Damascus. On the other hand, oh, of Paul, how jealous he was of a Timothy, where he did not have to reflect upon those old things passing away. Timothy, when he went to the cemetery, there would be no graves of the saints which he has persecuted. But that does not mean, congregation, that even those that may fear the Lord from their youth are not troubled with those old things. 'Tis the same Spirit, the same uncovering. The Spirit learns His people that no fruit from this tree forevermore. The Spirit uncovers to make room for that precious Jesus. Old things are passed away. And then let us add in this afternoon, when we speak of old things passing away and all things become anew, then it is not only a change of generals under the same king, but that we come under another king. And of course, still a privilege when we have a speaking conscience and when there are still troubles concerning our journey to eternity. 'Tis a great judgment, the greatest judgment that can come upon a church people. The hardening of the heart. Thomas Boston, that Scottish divine, he has written already in his day that it seemed that there were so many that were sermon proof. What does that mean? Used to all the theological language, used to the joyous praise in heaven, used to hearing of the awfulness of hell, and no impression. Still a blessing when there are impressions, but we need the saving work of the Spirit. And now all things have passed away. What are some of those old things, congregation? What are now those old things that pass away? Oh, then let us speak of church life. Coming to church, form and duty, oh boys and girls, that you even like going to church. But the word did not enter the heart. Maybe sometime impressions, but we left the doors, continued on that broad way. Oh, all things passed away, maybe before good intentions. But Martin Luther has stated in a certain place that the way to hell, they are paved with good intentions. Oh, then those old things pass away. Then we are no longer like a Galileo who cared for none of these things, as we read in Acts 18. Then we shall no longer be as a Felix. We read of that man, the husband of Drusilla, when Paulus preached of judgment, righteousness, and temperance. And then in Acts 24, then he says, go thy way for this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. No more like an Agrippa who said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In Acts 26. And then of course the love for sin, for the vanities of the world. Then they start passing away. Oh, that is a special mark of grace. that the Spirit teaches us, then it all becomes real. Do we oftentimes ask ourselves, what do I now really believe? Do I now really believe what God tells me in His holy word concerning Himself, concerning sin, concerning death, concerning eternity? Then we can be so shocked of ourselves that we say, how can it really be? It is declared in God's word. See it around us, this one, that one, also young ones, taken away by the hand of death. Then all things pass away. Then we begin to listen so differently. And can even be boys and girls. When the Lord begins that good work, that we even ask or wonder, how come the ministers not always preach this way? Because it seems that now we preach is so different. That is not the case. But then the Lord grants us different ears. Then we are given to hear the words of the living God. Then all things pass away. Then it is not what I think, not what I feel, but then it is what saith the Lord through His word. Then we could speak of many things, could speak of the Lord's day, speak of His house. It's a blessing when we have respect. Never leave our place empty, but more form and duty. But when all things pass away, then it all becomes so different. Then we even come to church different. Then there are beggars. Then there are sighers. Then we receive a spiritual appetite. All things pass away, and all things become new. Everything that pertains to the Lord, His house, His day, His word, institutions, all receive a special place in our life. Then we may say it reverently, God also becomes new. He is the same. Hebrews 13, verse 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then He becomes real for us. Then we become exercised with His attributes. Then even providential speakings, and of course it is a blessing when in the Lord's goodness, when the Lord speaks by a special providence, that we have eyes to see. But you read in Psalm 62, God has spoken once, but when it becomes new, twice have I heard it. What else becomes new? That is sin. That is a pure mark of grace. The Spirit holds the mirror of the law before us, and we are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And what does that work? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. Then such people, you do not have to warn for world conformity. all goes by itself on account. Oh, that new love shed abroad in their heart because they read in Galatians 5 verse 6 that faith worketh by love. Oh, when all things become new, especially in the beginning, then such a soul is amazed that other people, that they can live so easy walking on that broad way to hell without a concern. Because when it becomes, all things become new for such a soul, then they have a desire for all people to experience the same. But those new creatures in Christ, then it is needful and a great privilege and blessing when room is made for new blessings and new benefits. When the Spirit teaches that the arrow lieth further, exercises at the throne of grace, and now for those seeking souls, then it is needful, that is the Spirit's work, as it were, to proclaim to them a new gospel before perhaps a Jesus of five letters, that we could know it in our minds so good. We have learned it from our youth, and youth learn your questions well. But now when it pleases the Spirit to lost, undone sinners, to reveal that precious Jesus as the mediator between God and man, oh, then all things become new. And then also the exercises of such a soul, they also become new, because then they desire to hear more of that precious Jesus. How he saves, who he saves, and whether he can even save a poor sinner like me. Oh, all things become new. Think of Jacob. Oh, he could tell much. The clear leadings of the Lord concerning his soul. He learned he was a deceiver. Sent everything away. Slept in the open sky. Everything come to an end. But then he saw a new ladder between heaven and earth, the angels ascending, descending. A revelation of the mediator has become new. And then 20 years later, has received, experienced another blessing, penial, the application. And now, the mark of the true work of the Lord, with all the precious, the marvelous, the amazing things they have experienced, then that people has much exercises with those old things. Are there souls that understand it? Read it in Ephesians 4. The old and the new man, oh, it can be broadened out. When the Spirit works, then we also receive new relations. This even happened. That's not good, of course, young people. when two worldly young people, even in the church, when they are united in holy matrimony, they begin not with the Lord, they need not the Lord, they live for the world, offend God, grieve God's people, a riddle to the world. It's an awful thing, young people. We need to begin with the Lord and not to halt upon two opinions, but then it has happened between such a husband and wife that the Lord has blessed this holy word to the one. And that could be seen, because then such a one sooner or later cannot go along with all that worldly stuff, and that for the other one that it broke out in enmity, and that they said to their spouse, "You're not the one I have married. We have both served the world. You have never complained. And now all of a sudden we may not do anything anymore." It's not true. Lord grants many good things we may enjoy. We may not sin. There's a blessing when it may arouse to a holy jealousy. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And when we read in our text, "He is a new creature," then it can also be translated, "Let him be a new creature." Because the church shall be known by their fruits, cannot be hidden. And that exhorts, as Christ has exhorted his disciples, to watch and pray, young and old. Have we now become a new creature? Do we know of those new and marvelous things? Oh, it is true. There's such a marvelous work. Then there are souls like that Rebecca of old. She was expecting twins, and they were striving within her. And then we read in Genesis 25, verse 22, that she says, "Lord, why am I thus?" Those are those two peoples. That is that holy warfare, but young and old. We need to become new creatures. We need to become new creatures today. Because tomorrow can be too late. And what shall it be? Do you sometimes think of it, young and old? What it shall be? So privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth, and then to remain unconverted, and then to go lost, and that forever and ever. Oh, today is still the precious day of grace, my unconverted fellow travelers. Oh, earnestly seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And now the Lord has a people that it is not a strange language. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And then they desire for everyone in their family and in the congregation. But here it is only in part. Justification. For Jacob in Peniel, when he has experienced that justification in the court of conscience, it was a perfect work, never to be revoked. Sanctification is only in part. But now our text, all for God's people, at the end. Then it shall be perfectly fulfilled, delivered from self, from the world, and from the devil, to forever praise a triune God for his wonderful works. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then we shall close with an earnest exhortation toward the end of this chapter. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Wilt thou graciously also be the after preacher of what was read in this morning hour in a few words in this afternoon hour, Lord. Work lovingly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. We may commence another week. 8 months of the year have quickly run its course. Wilt thou look down upon us in thy mercy? We commend unto thee the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches, at work on the way. And then do remember our Christian school. When another school year hopes to commence, wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, keep us from sin and temptation, take us under thy good care and thy kind protection. Grant now traveling mercies and forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 224, the stanzas 1 and 2. Sing, sing a new song to Jehovah for all the wonders he has wrought. His right hand and his arm most holy, the victory to him have brought. And what follows, 424, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. See?